Give me the news, I got a bad case of loving you. No pills gonna cure my ill, I got a bad case of loving you.
Doctor, doctor, you can't call yourself doctor.
No, I'm not a doctor. I don't claim to be a doctor. And we should have changed the lyrics to Doctor, Doctor, I've got a bad case of hating the blues, because I think that's more accurate today. And hate's a strong word.
I hate him.
Dramatically dislike.
We have to find out why Doc Emmerich is called Doctor.
I don't know the answer to that.
I know his name is Mike.
Right.
And we are waiting for him to get on the line.
Mike's spelled backwards, actually. It's pronounced doctor in some languages.
Is.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that, Steve.
See, now I don't know when to believe people. I actually have to do a double take or a double thought with you and with Bertrand.
Right. You're going to get whiplash.
Game two tonight, St. Louis. Duncan Keith is back. I'm very excited about this, sporting my Duncan Keith sweater. Mm-hmm. All right,
who told you to get the Duncan Keith sweater?
Well, see, that was the thing. I didn't know. You know, when you get a Hawk sweater, you invest a lot of bit of money. So you don't know who to get. And I love Patrick Kane, and he is the top player in the U.S., the mm-hmm. most number of points. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know what to get. And this guy on the line, Doc Emmerich, said, why don't you go with Duncan Keith? And I did, and I'm wearing it right now, ready for tonight's game, Doc.
Oh, you are. It sounds like you're cranked up for that. So as we envision you there on Michigan Avenue, inside the glass, you have your red number two on.
I do, with the A. And the A stands for alternate in his case. In my case, maybe something different.
Yes. Yes. And, Doc, you told me to get a Dennis Hull jersey.
Authority, thank you. You told Bill to get a
Dennis Hull jersey, which I'm wearing proudly. Thank you for that, Doc.
Very good. You guys are having a great time. And the weekend is ahead and lots of hockey coming up. You'll have this, plus you'll have Sunday afternoon, so plenty of good Hawks Blues to watch.
That was quite a game, game one. It was really one of those games that could have gone either way. How strange was it to end on a kind of a fluke goal, though, huh?
It does tend to happen in Stanley Cup playoffs, and usually it doesn't wind up being the captain of either team that scores a goal like that. It does happen with the Hawks a little more because Jonathan Toews seems to have this ability, but bank shot goals and weird sorts of things they are a part of the hockey gods who have missing teeth and flowing robes and a weird sense of humor, and we get these goals every once in a while. We don't have very many games that go into Stanley Cup overtime at nothing. And you can say that was a tribute to Brian Elliott, but I think it was also there was a little bit of luck involved in that the Blackhawks had a lot of opportunities. And normally when the puck's on Captain Sirius's stick, it usually winds up, if you give him two chances, one of the two is going to go in, and neither of those did the other night.
Right.
So it's why they play best of seven, and it'll be a lot of fun watching this. I'm out in Pittsburgh right now for the game tomorrow with Pittsburgh and the Rangers, but I'll be watching just like the rest of you tonight. And out here we get the NBCSN, which will be Pat and Edzo. So that'll be fun, too, and you'll have John and Troy, as always, on the station there.
Now, you're a fan of the Pittsburgh Pirates, aren't you?
Yes, and I'm paying for it right now. We won the first four, and yesterday I went, because it was an afternoon game, and I do not want to forget my day job, which is watching hockey games at night and making sure I'm up to date on things. But, yeah, I went over yesterday afternoon, and it was a disappointment. As everybody loses 50, and everybody wins 50, and it's the games in between that you worry about, I guess. But yesterday was one of those 50.
Now, you went to a Pirates fantasy camp. I didn't realize this. You played second base when you were at the fantasy camp?
I played second base, and I played second base in high school, Wendy, and there was almost a half a century in between. And there was almost a half a century of not playing second base anywhere for anybody in between. But they tolerate an awful lot at fantasy camp, and if there's anyone, and that includes females, because the Pirates fantasy camp did have three female players that really love playing baseball, and they were out there, and they were chosen by teams as well. They were good souls. It was a week of playing games, and for most of us, a week in the infirmary.
So Doc,
I wound up having to have my knee drained once.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That's not good. Well, Doc, if you're a Pirates fan and you like second base, then your guy would either be Bill Mazeroski or Rennie Stennett, right? Would that be your...
I wore number 9 because I'm old. I was a Maz guy.
Yeah.
And the one quick story about that knee draining was that I had to go to somebody you know, that wasn't on the training staff to have it done because they had not gotten down for the start of the regular training camp yet. And the guy drained my knee and he said, I gave you a little shot of steroid and that should help you. And I went back and got five straight hits. My batting average went from the 200s to the 400s by the end of the week. And Kent Tekulve, who was the commissioner and that hero of the 1979 World Series, says, we're probably going to have to put an asterisk next to that batting average.
Oh, and it could cost you the Hall of Fame, too. I hope you're aware of that, Doc.
Yeah, it's shot.
Yeah.
It was shot a long time ago.
All right. Well, so you played baseball in high school and in fantasy camp, in 2012. Did you ever play hockey?
No. I never learned to skate. I grew up in Indiana as much as I grew, and we didn't have rinks there, and we didn't have hockey programs. And there it was basketball. And through my freshman year of high school, because I was in a small town of only 600 people, I was able to play because there weren't many kids. But when they realized the legs weren't going to grow, I wound up being the public address announcer. And that turned out to be a better thing for me to spend my time on than trying to shoot foul shots being nearsighted with glasses.
Well, you still made it in the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame as the first ever broadcaster inducted into it, so congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a great night, and it was right there in Chicago, so a lot of memories. You know, when you work in any line of work, you are around one group of people that you work with, and another group that you grew up with and married into in your family, and rarely are they ever in the same room at the same time. But that night they were, and that's what makes it a lifetime memory, is the people you work with are at one table, and right next to them are all your family. It's just great.
Doc, we who do not call hockey games marvel at the ability. The game is so fast, not just the game on the ice, but the mental game of knowing who's on the ice at any given time, of knowing which numbers coordinate to which players. I'm astounded at what you do, and you do it so poetically night after night after night. Does it even get to you? Do you go, wow, I'm in it. I'm the guy doing it. I can't believe what I'm pulling off.
No, it does. It's not that way, Bill, necessarily, but you do get challenges, and one of the most recent ones was Game 1 in St. Louis. Oftentimes, when you're doing the national broadcast, they give you the low position. But in the first round, and for good reason, we're not exclusive, and so we wound up high at the same place that Pat and Eddie were doing the game, as well as Troy and John were just down from us, too.
Mm-hmm.
And there, it is a higher location than at United Center. And you are, as I think I mentioned to you one other time, you are working for a 4-inch number on the sleeve.
Yeah.
And from that distance and from that height, it becomes a challenge sometimes to be able to read those numbers. And that was the reason I know in one earlier conversation I talked about 91 and 81 being Richards last year and 81 being Hossa. And me being very glad that Brad is happy in Detroit because it made calling that right winger with a left-hand shot much easier. And there was a challenge with that, I think, in St. Louis just because the numbers are very small from that height. But United Center, the lighting is very bright, and the Blackhawks jerseys, especially that red one like Wendy's got on,
yeah,
the numbers really stand out well for you. And white against red is really solid.
Yeah,
it is.
But
pretty
if you have a blue one against a white jersey or white against blue, it's a little harder.
All right, and speaking of the jersey I'm wearing, Dunks is back tonight. 6-game suspension finished. He is back in action. Are we going to see an amped up yet well-behaved Duncan Keith tonight?
Yeah, I think so. First of all, he is probably the greatest guy at understanding the need for control. He has exercised it before. He's had three of these, but his career has been very long. There is separation between each of the suspensions that he's had. So he has rehabbed very well. I wish I had the good fortune with speeding tickets that Duncan Keith has had with suspensions. I sometimes stack them up. I get two in a row. I don't think Dunk's going to get two suspensions in a row. They count on him a lot, and he knows that, and he will make a difference. The Blues got the game they absolutely had to have because he wasn't in the lineup. It could have gone either way. It was more likely to go the Blackhawks' way because they had far the better chances. They had more shot attempts. And Ken Hitchcock, the coach of St. Louis, has said that the hit total needs to climb. And as you know, and it's probably been reported there, Joel Quenneville has responded by saying, good, I hope it gets up near 70 instead of 41 like it was in game one, because that means we have the puck. If you do the hitting, that means you don't have it and you're trying to get it back. These two teams are created altogether differently. One is built for size. They've got, you know, if our average is 6'1", 201, that's our average size in the league. The Blues have 15 guys that are greater than that.
Wow.
But the Blackhawks are, as you know, are speed merchants, skillful guys that have gone a long time in a lot of playoffs, and so they have the credentials. The Blues are trying to earn theirs. And as Hank Stram used to say, when I got the chance to do five NFL games with Hank Stram, that's the reason they blow up the footballs and screw on the helmets. We'll see.
We're talking to the great Doc Emmerich. Doc, I've heard on several hockey websites that maybe Coach Hitchcock of the St. Louis Blues is playing for his future with the St. Louis Blues, that if they don't win at least this first round and maybe even go deeper, he may not be the coach of the St. Louis Blues anymore. Do you find any truth to that?
Well, he's on a one-year contract, and they actually did some interviewing last summer before they brought him back for a one-year contract. So I think we can draw our own conclusions from that his situation was shaky at best with that year.
Yeah.
Now, how did they weigh that at the end of this year? Certainly winning a round in the playoffs from the defending champions makes a tremendous mark. They had a wonderful year despite everything else, and he may be a finalist for Coach of the Year because of what they accomplished with so many injuries, almost 300 man games. But hovering over all of it was that fact from last spring, and also the fact that all of the greatness that you do in the regular season vanishes into thin air and is hardly ever remembered if you don't do something good in the playoffs.
Yeah, true.
The Blackhawks have, and for the last 3 years, the Blues have not. And so the jury is not only out, it has ordered sandwich.
Excellent. And we started before we had you on the line, and we know you don't have a lot of time. Where did you get the nickname Doc?
It was one of those things that wound up being earned, I guess. I got a doctorate in broadcasting at Bowling Green, and it became the automatic nickname, as I guess it does for anyone in the medical profession. But mine was in radio, TV, and film. And so I never use it much myself. I never call myself that. And I certainly don't use it on any airline boarding passes, because I figure if there's a problem and they need help, all I'll be able to do is read to somebody.
That's great.
Yeah, but you could probably make them better just by reading to them, Doc.
Well, you'll calm them down.
I don't know. It depends on the reading material. And what I have in front of me now are the stats from the last Rangers-Pittsburgh game, and it's kind of boring.
Oh, that's no good. And the lovely Mrs. Emmerich also does not refer to you as Doc, does she?
No, she calls me Mike. We go back way before the doc year. She has waded through an awful lot of things with me, including finishing graduate school, cancer, and all kinds of the loss of both parents and the loss of both her parents. And you go through a lot of things over 38 years of time. She's a godsend, and she packs my lunch and sends me out to play with the other kids in the fall, and it's always very encouraging.
Does she send you little pictures of your puppy dogs when you're away?
I get pooch reports every day, and they're occasionally texts as to who did what and who barked at the mailman. They're great little souls. They're fun to watch, and we all look forward to being reunited, more so at the end of playoffs, because it winds up being for more days in a row than just one or two. But the job is wonderful, and I do dearly love it, and she knows that. And she also knows that the times at home are among the best that we ever had.
Ah, that's perfect. Doc, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and you make every game so much more fun to listen to. So keep up the great work.
It's fun to get in free, as I've said so many times, you two. And I hope every once in a while the two of you can get in free to see a game as well. And when you do, make sure you make your voices known. Get out there and yell for those Hawks.
Well, be listening for me yelling for the Hawks on Sunday night.
Okay, yeah, you yell loud.
Oh, you'll hear me. Trust me.
You will hear her. Doc, thank you.
Be good.
All right, have a safe trip. It's Doc Emmerich, thank everybody. One of the best. One of the absolute best.
Isn't he like the greatest man to walk this earth?
Yeah.
He's one of the.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not kidding. He's so nice.
Fan.
He's so good.
Yeah, well, Steve will tell you. Steve's been friends with him for years. He knows. All right, let's take a quick break. More show coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.